is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
Jeffrey, what's that in your coffee cup?
What do you think it is, Jen? It's Death Wish coffee. It's the only coffee I drink. Death Wish is the world's strongest coffee, and the world's strongest salesperson needs the world's strongest coffee.
Jeffrey and I drink it, and diehards, you need to be drinking it too. It'll help you wake up and smell the order forms. They have 100% no bullshit money back guarantee, so go get your first bag or first box of K-Cups of the world's strongest coffee at deathwishcoffee.com.
So what does an order form smell like? It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet...
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. All right, everybody, we are back. Okay, so let's talk about some of the ways you can actually learn your product better so that you know the product better than your customer.
Before you say a word to the customer, you reinforce their purchase. Jennifer, you've just purchased the best car in the world.
Yes, I have.
Okay, but they didn't say that.
No.
They all of a sudden start out by going, okay, are you sitting in your seat? Yeah. Okay, it's already on. And if you want to put it in drive, you click that. Like, dude, what did I just do? Tell me I just purchased the greatest car in the history mm-hmm. of mankind. Mm-hmm. And I, as their representative, am going to show you every single secret that you need to know to operate this car at maximum efficiency and total enjoyment.
So our new buddy, Ooh. I love that, our new buddy, the regional manager, kept telling us we're now part of the Tesla family.
Ooh.
And I was like, I love that. Is that something you train your people on? Because it's the first time I'm hearing it.
And
he was like, no, it's just something I use. But like, why not tell them you're now part of the Carpet One family or you're now part of the whatever family your business is? Like, that makes you feel so special. I love it.
I wanted to know, in the case of divorce, what's my alimony?
What?
I'm part of the family. If there's a divorce, I want payment.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so here's the treasure that was overlooked.
Yeah.
It's a brand new kind of car. It's not the same kind of car as anybody else's car. It drives differently. It handles differently. It goes differently. It locks differently. Tell me and give me the sheet. Mm-hmm. Of the 10 or 20 things that this car needs, that you need to memorize about this car, just like 2 times 2 is 4,
right?
So that you can drive it with maximum efficiency and maximum happiness.
This is especially important if you're selling something that is new to the market or a change in the way people buy things, or you're relying on early adopters, I don't
yep.
know, the early people, to take advantage of it.
And keep in mind, I'm going to forget 80% of what you tell me the minute I drive out of the parking lot. Mm-hmm. But if I had the piece of paper, I'd know exactly what the hell I'm doing. But the first guy said, well, you can watch the video on YouTube. I don't want to watch the video. First of all,
I'm with a live person.
Where's the fucking link to the video? Well, you go. No, I put it on paper. Put it in the video.
Ironically, when I was at the mall, because I drove straight from getting the car to return something at the mall, and trying to figure out how to turn off the car. Right. I was Googling it because the dealership was already closed. So I was searching for a video, and like maybe the internet was really slow because I was in a parking garage. I don't know, but like it was so hard to find.
And the car is still running. No, yeah. I mean, the things. This is what I want you to think about. And I said this earlier as we were in a just an informal discussion. When you're delivering something to a customer and you're talking to them, it may be your 1,000th time to make a delivery. But as your customer, it's my first time to hear it.
Right.
So make certain that you treat me like a 2-year-old. And say, these are the 5 things you have to do. And if you do these 5 things, you're going to have maximum enjoyment. And I have a piece of paper so that when I'm finished telling you, it's also reinforced in writing. You can never make a mistake. At the bottom of the paper is my cell phone. If you need reinforcement, please call me any time of the day or night.
Yeah, and here's the reality. No one wants to watch the video, and no one wants to read through a manual that's like this thick on your product, okay? If you tell me to read a book, I'll read the book because it's going to give me personal development. But if you want me to read a book like that on your product, it's probably not happening.
Let me show the book.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Okay, so the question is, how deep is your product knowledge and how good is your ability to transfer that knowledge.
Agreed.
Because if I'm sitting with you there in person, I want you to transfer your knowledge to me. And that's what you have to do to be the best at.
Now let's get to Aaron.
How do you break up with a coach?
So that's a great question. You know, and where I've been in the business of having an organization full of coaches, we feel that our approach is to really work with these coaches to get them trained up. We've had to part ways with coaches, right? And we had students that maybe didn't fit with a coach. But our approach is that, listen, if you don't connect with a coach, I guarantee we have a coach that you will connect with, and so we'd move them on to that coach. And a lot of times, give them as many sessions back as they need to make sure that connection is there and established first.
I wonder how you fire the guy. Go, coach. Bob. I need to talk.
Listen, coach. No,
I mean, the reason why I ask is I had an amazing coach who was great for me when I started my business.
Yeah.
But then
you
when
have room.
I really did outgrow him. And it was very hard because he cared so deeply about me, and we met every week, and he was used to my check that came miraculously every month. And I felt terrible because I didn't want to hurt his feelings, but at the same time, I felt like he got me from point A to point B, but he couldn't get me over the hump to point C.
Right. And if there's ever anybody in that situation, I mean, we're proud of those individuals, right? If they feel like they've outgrown us and our organization, we feel like we can serve the entire population with what we do. We have coaches at all levels. But if somebody gets to that point where they're able to outgrow us, man, we're proud of them, right? And that's really our – because we want that. That's what we want. They come into us. They need help. And if we can get them to a level where, like, guys, I'm good. I feel like I've outgrown it. I'm moving forward. You know, we applaud them and wish them the absolute best.
Yeah.
And we feel like we've done our part.
And notice I didn't say I outgrew coaching.
Sure.
I outgrew that coach.
Yes, exactly.
And there's a big distinction there.
You're exactly right.
There are big companies that make you sign a contract, and whether you think you've outgrown your coach or not is one thing. Whether you've outgrown your contract, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to look at it from the perspective of what is your obligation.
Yeah.
To pay your coaching bill, not to the coach per se.
Absolutely.
Okay, so a lot of people use these two words interchangeably. Coach.
Bull. Sorry.
Coach and mentor.
Yep.
How would you create a distinction between the two?
You know what? Honestly, we probably interchange them a little bit too, but we see a coach as somebody who is giving kind of the blocking, tackling, you know, the skills, whereas a mentor is kind of right alongside you. I guess the visual imagery is you look at a coach on a football field or a basketball court and they're coaching somebody in a certain situation, whereas a mentor has their arm around them, walking side by side, helping
them
through
the beach.
Exactly. Yep.
So I'm going to give you mine.
Yeah, go for it.
Perfect.
Coaches are paid for, mentors are free.
Ooh.
I like that.
There's this big thing now where people want to pay to have mentorship. I don't understand it. I think
that's
it's
because
like a
the person who's offering it doesn't understand it either. Mentors do not get paid for their advice or their wisdom or their friendship.
I agree with that. But people will email me or LinkedIn message me and be like, how can I sign up? Where can I pay for your mentorship? And I'm like, huh.
You can pay right here as long
you.
As you don't call it that.
I really like that distinction though, yeah. Jeffrey.
It's the easiest
way.
Yeah,
one. That's good.
I mean, think about the mentors that you've had in your life.
Yeah.
You've never paid them a nickel.
Right.
And that, to me, was always the obvious one. Mm-hmm. But it may be because I've had a dozen mentors in my life that have significantly changed it. And they'd be insulted if I tried to give them
right.
money.
Right, yeah. right, right, right. Like, they're not doing it for the money.
Here's $100. Like, seriously? You give a multimillionaire $100 for his hour?
So
there's an exchange, and the exchange has to be emotional, and there has to be a respect mutually and a like mutually.
Yep.
And you have to be talking to somebody that can genuinely help you, and you have to have earned their respect and earned their mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing you never do is ask somebody, will you be my mentor?
Exactly.
Ever. Oh. Oh, wait, hold it.
Shocking. Jeffrey's alarm went off. I love it.
Please say hello to the great Dave Meltzer.
And I remember building my huge home. I had a Ferrari, a Porsche, a boat, a motorhome, everything but an airplane. And I could have bought one if I wanted. And I was, for the first time in my life, unhappy. I surrounded myself with all the wrong people, the wrong ideas. I started buying my own bullshit. And thank goodness my wife was there. I get choked up thinking about it. But, you know, my wife saved my life, basically kicked my butt, told me to go back and take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become. And that book that you held up, that Connected to Goodness book, is an outline, 7 principles with 4 key elements of how to take what you want and become inspired again, your why. And then how the difference is, like Napoleon Hill, I believe in all the woo-woo bullshit that everyone's afraid of, the manifestation. I believe wholeheartedly in that. But I also am an old school, hard-selling, pragmatic business person who believes in discipline, strategy, and awareness. And I wake up at 4 in the morning every day, and I try to stay awake till 11, use all my energy. But what I learned through a 2-year process of losing over $100 million was that there was more to life than taking. And it was a very simple lesson, which I now teach millions of people about how to shift the paradigm of value, how to simply trust the universe. If you can provide more value than you're asking for, who won't say yes to you?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Everyone will. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Everyone and that's the basis of how I live.
When I was reading your stuff, actually, I was given your dossier by a real dossier by Zach Krupp, a millennial who is working for us, and the kid is just on fire and loves you. And he said, "This guy, he has the same philosophy that you do. We have to get this guy on the show because my philosophy consists of I give value first, mm-hmm. I help other people." I strive to be my best at what I love to do. I establish long-term relationships with everyone, and I have fun, and I do that every day. And when you have a philosophy like that, you don't have the philosophy, you live the philosophy.
Yeah.
And when you begin to live it, then it begins to pay you in ways that you could never have imagined.
So, right, make a lot of money to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. Exactly, you just said it. The only difference I have, nuance, is I've learned about receivership. I think it's really important through that process that you have to learn to receive. And receivership to me means allowing things to come to me, adding value to them, which is appreciation through gratitude, mm-hmm. add value, and then give it away. What happened was everything, I was very much an optimist. Everything was happening, you know, for me, not to me as a victim, but for me. And there's only so much of me. But when I learned to be in receivership, that everything was coming through me for the benefit of others, I started to expand, and the amount of money, the amount of abundance, the amount of inspiration that comes through me every day is extraordinary. And it continues to grow with all the confidence and happiness and joy that I ever imagined. And I can empower others with the same.
So my dad's advice to me when I was growing up was, son, first get the money, then figure out what you got to do.
I love that.
And it was typical of those times.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say first earn the money, which is what I figured out you had to do. But I had to get to 60 before I figured that out. Actually, 50. But the bottom line was for me that if I put enough value into the marketplace, then the world paid me back. And as you know, the world pays you back tremendously if you have the skills and the content to be able to take advantage of it.
I agree. There's another little nuance, which is people think that money buys happiness. And there's this real subtlety. I learned a valuable lesson. Money does not buy happiness, but it's very important because it allows you to go shopping. And what shopping makes you happy, shopping for whatever you want to give money. You know, I built two community centers in Africa. That's shopping. I'm shopping for the right things now. When I was shopping for the wrong things, I was shot. It didn't make me happy. So I think people need to clearly define the fact that money's a great thing. It's an energy in which you can do extraordinary. Look at Warren Buffett, change the world. Yeah. But you got to learn to shop for the right things.
This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher. And come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.